You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. This weekend marks the 25th anniversary of the beginning of the broadcast run of the hit 90s TV sitcom Seinfeld. The show followed the everyday exploits of Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer as they waded their way through the mindless minutiae of life. Seinfeld became known affectionately as a show about nothing. Joining us now to talk about the show's continuing influence on TV is Robert Thompson, professor of television and pop culture at Syracuse University. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So how did Seinfeld change the way TV sitcoms are produced?
Well, it took a little while, and you know, it wasn't the first to do a lot of what it did. I mean, this whole show about nothing is a misnomer. It wasn't about nothing. It was about a lot of things. It just tended to be more these daily details of life, and that came from the fact that television was more and more tapping stand-up comedians who did that kind of observational humor. And Seinfeld wasn't the first to do that. Cosby had 5 years in a row as the number one Nielsen-rated guy doing that same kind of thing. And when 30-something first proposed its show, it used the phrase a show about nothing before Seinfeld started referring to his show about that. So it wasn't like he did anything new. And when that show started, it took a little while to get going. But once it started firing on all cylinders, there was no stopping it. It gave a whole new vocabulary to the kinds of things we all experienced and thought about, but didn't necessarily put a specific word to yet.
So is that what sets it apart? I mean, given that it did become this juggernaut, but you say it wasn't necessarily first in being a show about nothing, is there anything that we can point to that's and say, this is vintage Seinfeld and only Seinfeld did this?
Well, I mean, I suppose you don't need me to say that one of the reasons this worked is it was a combination of really good writing and really good performances. I'm not sure I'd actually say in all cases it was great acting, because Seinfeld is not a great actor. He's a great performer. He was a great he was great in that show, but combined, those four really worked. And I think it's when they started systematically doing those episodes, waiting for food for an entire episode in a Chinese restaurant, getting a car stuck in losing their car in a mall multiple level parking garage, which is like a retelling of Dante's Inferno in a half hour sitcom, and then giving words to things like in the contest, are you master of your domain, a polite way to say something that everybody likes to talk about at some point but didn't have a polite way of doing it. That great episode where they came up with the not that there's anything wrong with that as a blanket apology that what you're about to say may be perceived as offensive, but it shouldn't be. That was really useful in the 1990s.
And the other thing about this is these characters, they weren't that glamorous, or they didn't have incredible sex appeal or charisma. They were kind of, in fact, in George's case, George was a loser. Here's a little clip of vintage George.
Right.
Every decision I've ever made in my entire life has been wrong. My life is the complete opposite of everything I want it to be.
George, you know that woman just looked at you. Go talk to her.
Yeah, I should do the opposite. I should.
If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right.
Yes. I will do the opposite. Excuse me, I couldn't help but notice that you were looking in my direction.
Oh, yes, I was. You just ordered the same exact lunch as me.
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
I'm Victoria. Hi.
George Costanza doing the lovable loser thing there. What do you think about George being lovable?
Well, he was, and of course he gave hope to many, many people, because George had a lot of women that he went out with that looked like they would have never in a million years given a guy like George the time of day. But when you go right down that cast, George, of course, spent on and off living with his parents. Kramer, while he was kind of appealing in some ways, looked like he just landed from the planet Neptune. Elaine, of course, was an attractive woman, but not in the conventional conventional sorts of ways that we think of necessarily. She couldn't dance. She was kind of awkward. Jerry, I guess his appeal came from the fact that he was in show business. And on top of that, not only were they these physical issues, they were in many ways really unlikable characters. That's what that whole final episode was all about when they finally put them in jail, where many people thought they belonged.
Did you think that was a good ending?
Well, a lot of people didn't. I thought it was really beautiful. I mean, the fact that those very final lines were repeating lines from the very first season, the very first episode, bringing us into this continual loop. I think it was a nice final scene. I think that episode was too long. I think that whole business with Geraldo and the court case and all the rest of it was a little much. But at that point, they were trying to top everything they'd done at that point, and they were their own toughest act to follow.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about some of the expressions and concepts that the show was responsible for bringing out into the pop culture lexicon. What are some of your favorites? You mentioned not that there's anything wrong with that. What else?
Yeah, I mean, I have used that a lot in that I think that really became handy in an era of heightened sensibility and heightened raised consciousnesses and all of that. It was a way of sort of saying that you were on the side of all of that. Shrinkage, of course, was fun. Yada, yada, Seinfeld gets credit for. Yada, yada had been in the language before Seinfeld, but they really brought it to the forefront. Double dipping, sponge-worthy. I mean, this show, Different Strokes gave us what you're talking about, Willis. Seinfeld gave us 10 or 12 really enduring kind of cultural idioms.
And since you mentioned the yada yada thing.
You don't think she'd yada yada sex?
I've yada yada'd sex.
Really?
Yeah. I met this lawyer. We went out to dinner. I had the lobster bisque. We went back to my place. Yada yada yada. I never heard from him again.
But you yada yada'd over the best part.
No, I mentioned the bisque.
Clip there from the hit TV show Seinfeld, which is observing its 25th anniversary of the beginning of the broadcast run. We're talking with TV and pop culture critic Robert Thompson from Syracuse University. And what do you think about the staying power of this show? It's been picked up by Hulu for a fee of $1 million per episode. Why is this show still so, I guess, relevant?
Right, all nine seasons. Well, I guess part of it is the fact that it did so much define the culture of the 1990s that subsequent people who haven't seen it really, I think, feel the need to go back. And it's one of the Rosetta Stones of understanding a lot of emerging culture. But the other thing, and a recent article in the New York Times talked about this, Seinfeld, of course, comes out in first debuts in 1989. The internet is not, is just beginning to start having the its embryonic stages. But it's amazing how when you play a clip like you just did, and in fact, all the clips you played so far, they are so internet-friendly, even though they were made before the era of that. That little clip, you didn't have to know any of those characters. You didn't have to know anything about the show. That little 30 seconds works completely on its own. And now, of course, we're in an era that so much of what we consume are in these tiny little bites. I mean, in the age of the internet, 3 minutes is the new War and Peace. And Seinfeld, ahead of its time, really worked on that modular kind of level. And I think that's why it's still appealing. You watch an old classic episode of the Beverly Hillbillies, and you've kind of got to let the story develop. Seinfeld, every 30 seconds, it rewards you, even if you haven't seen anything that came before.
Do you think that it appeals to the younger generation, to the 20-somethings, teenagers, or are the people watching it like people like me, the nostalgic Gen Xers or baby boomers?
Well, that's a really interesting point because I've noticed a change. I mean, I am constantly exposed to 18 to 22-year-olds because I keep getting older and my students keep remaining the same age. And while Seinfeld was on, it was one of the favorite shows of my students. For about a decade after it was on, it remained one of their favorites and they got to know it in syndication. I've noticed in the past 5 or 6 years, however, that I'm getting more and more of a vibe from certain students that Seinfeld is one of those shows that their parents watched. And that's a very kind of depressing thought to me, but I think we're beginning to see that movement of Seinfeld into the classic TV arena. Doesn't mean that they don't still appreciate it, and they don't still like it, and they don't still like it when some reference to it is made in an episode of Family Guy. But let's face it, it's become an older show, and for that matter, the characters themselves weren't exactly young when they were in that show.
Yeah, this is true. They were older, not older, but they were middle-aged-ish. They were plain,
way too old to be acting the way they did on that program.
In a way, right. And they wore these plain clothes. Jerry seemed like a super nerd in a way with his prim little button-up shirts. I don't know. Was that an attempt by them to make it sort of evergreen, or were these just not fancy people?
Well, I mean, again, another good point. It does have an evergreen quality in that while there's a lot about it that shouts out the 90s, for example, the big telephones with the antennas coming out and all the rest of it, it does have a certain I Love Lucy quality. I Love Lucy obviously looks old because it's in black and white and their hairstyles are different. But there's not a lot, like if you watch an episode of Miami Vice or $16 Million Man, you can barely watch it because it's so anachronistic. Seinfeld has got a certain, it's almost as though it could have taken place in any time, because in so many ways it wasn't taking place at any specific time in particular.
And another thing about the show, it seems like it's one of the first ones, at least that I can think of, that made you feel at times uncomfortable while you watched it. Was that something that was original about it? That this was ushering in the era of uncomfortable comedy shows like The Office?
It was ahead of its time. And there had been a few others. I don't know if you remember a syndicated show called Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, mm-hmm. which Norman Lear did. And that had those moments of real extreme discomfort. But Seinfeld, you're right, brought that into a whole new era where you're almost watching thinking, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And then, of course, the character does it. And, of course, Larry David would then take that idea from Seinfeld, which he co-created, to Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was one of the most deliciously, unpleasantly uncomfortable programs to watch to this very day.
And you know who we haven't talked about yet? We really have to give Kramer his due. What do you think about the role of Kramer?
Well, I mean, if Kramer hadn't gotten caught making those extraordinarily horrid racist remarks in the Laugh Factory in L.A., I think we would be celebrating him as one of the greatest comic second banana characters of all time. And I guess we still have to give him that. Kramer helped make that show. That show without Kramer would have been a very different show and a very much not as good show. Though I have to say, once those clips of his tirade came out on YouTube, it to this day is hard for me to watch Seinfeld, see Kramer come in, and not think of that tirade. It has really put a cloud over that program that has lasted for a long time.
You know, it's funny you mention that. I had forgotten that, and now that you mention it, it is once something happens, it's difficult to go back and see it the same way. But given all that, as we wrap up here, Robert, is Seinfeld, in your opinion, the greatest TV comedy of all time, as some have called it? And we'll never know because we lost Robert Thompson. Well, I guess you can answer that question for yourself. I'm going to say, yeah, I think it was one of my favorite shows. Maybe one day we'll find out what Robert Thompson thinks. Robert Thompson is professor of television and pop culture at Syracuse University. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Waking the dawn of day, and I guess think about where I